Lord, I need you right now. Because I don't want this to be anything of me, Lord. I don't want this just to be an intellectual, emotional expression. Lord, I want it to be of you. I want every word that I speak here this morning to be inspired of the Holy Spirit. And that all of us this morning would encounter the God of man and not just a man of God. I thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness and your presence here this morning, Lord. And speak to us, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to be starting in John 11 this morning, but I want to read this one verse to kind of just set a precedence this morning. Acts chapter 2, verse 24 says, "Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." John chapter 11. It never fails. I could read a text hundreds of times, and there have been thousands of messages, I'm sure, preached on this text. And it never fails that God shows me something different every time I'm in it. And I get to that point and want to teach where I don't leave any stone unturned. I want to get it all. So it takes a little while because I end up reading large portions of text. But so we're going to taxi down the runway a little bit this morning, kind of lay a foundation here and just see where God takes us. Chapter 11, verse 1 of John says, "Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." And stick a pin in that one. "Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." When Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that he saith unto his disciples, "Let us go unto Judea again." His disciples say unto him, "Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him." "These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him." And I love this verse. Verse 16 says, "Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us go also that we may die with him." You gotta love Thomas. I mean, we're going to look at John chapter 20 a little bit this morning too. And there are some parallels here. Some of it you kind of see where it's the same, and other parts you see some very interesting things. But Jesus says, "Let's go to Judea. Let's go where Lazarus is. Let's go to Judea." And they said, "Wait a minute. They're trying to kill you there. They're trying to kill you there. Why do we want to go there?" And he says, "Lazarus is dead. Let's go. Let's go unto him." And Thomas, "Well, we might as well go die with him." Think about it. Why else would he say that? There's an attitude there if you find it. You sit around and you think about it long enough, and I know that's my attitude. I'd be saying, well, Lord, you're trying to kill you. Well, let's go anyway. Well, let's go die with him. What the heck? We got nothing to lose, right? Thomas is called smart aleck, is what he is. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now, that's important because the Jews believed that the body would be in the grave for 4 days or for 3 days, and they would wait in mourning. They would wait, and they would go and check the grave to see if the person was alive, because they believed on the fourth day is when the corruption, when the decay would start. Okay, so it says he's been. When Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and to Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet he shall live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had said so, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, the Master has come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she rose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house, comforted her. And when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out and followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, and she saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, where have you laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, come into the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinks, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice and said, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot, with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. What does it mean to be loosed? And why did he have to say let him go? I thought about this. I'll sit in my office sometimes or just lay in my bed and lay there and think about these stories, and so often we read them. So, and Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And we kind of just, this was real. So if you spend a little time thinking about it, all of a sudden you start feeling the emotion of Jesus, and you start feeling what Martha and Mary must have felt. You start really getting a grip on what was going on. You lay there and think about it long enough, you'll smell the death that came out of that grave. You can hear the sounds of the stone being moved. You start realizing this was real. This really happened. They moved the stone out of the way. Jesus Christ told him, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth. Now, I don't know exactly what happened in that place that morning, but it makes me think about when my daughter Katie was born. And not that it was better or anything than when Virginia was born or any other child was born, but there was something specific that happened that day that I will never forget. It just hammers me every time I think about it. And here she is. She's born. And I will never forget that stall of time before she took that first breath. There's nothing like it. To me, it was that revelation of God breathed the breath of life into man and he became a living soul. All of a sudden, I'm looking at this baby and it's like a dream. It's like, wow, this is just surreal almost. And all of a sudden, after it seemed like eternity, because this dad is just wanting, I want to hear the life in this child. And I heard this, why? And she just lets loose. And I thought about this morning, I'm laying there thinking about this and walking around here praying and thinking about this. And when he said Lazarus and called his name, I bet you could have heard a pin drop. And for Martha and Mary, it must have seemed like an eternity. But to hear from that grave, maybe he screamed, what'd you do that for? But think about that. He was dead. He was dead for 4 days. And Jesus called his name. And he came forth. Something happened in that tomb. He had to start breathing again. His heart had to go for the first time again. It had to start all over again. He was dead and he stunk. Lazarus! What? I don't know what his first thought was, but all I know is he was dead and now he's alive. What's that? Oh, I don't think so. I don't think so. Because he doesn't get up and walk out. Because he's bound in grave clothes. Meaning strips of cloth, he was bound. Bound. Whether it's like a mummy like we see in the tombs of Egypt, whatever it was, and I know the Jews had their own way of doing it, everybody had their specific way of doing it. But specifically it says, he was bound. And his face was covered. He was veiled. And he is wrapped in the identity of death. And imagine that. He's got the veil. I don't know if you hear it. And Jesus says, come forth. Now, how do you do that? I don't even know if there's enough room in this tomb for him to stand up. Okay? Maybe he's like rolling out of the tomb and stands up. I don't know. But he was dead, and now he's alive. And he's bound in the identity of death. And Jesus looks at everybody else that's standing there and said, loose him! Loose him and let him go! And I can imagine what Mary and Martha are going through right about this time. Loosing means he's whatever he is bound with, whether it be chains, whether it be cloth, whatever he's bound with in the Greek, they are bound with something, and it means to loose them. So they run over there and start unwrapping him. All the cloths that are on him. Loose him and let him go. Eddie, come here. I'm going to beat on you for a minute. You're Lazarus, and you stink, and you just came back to life. Okay? And I'm Mary or Martha, your sister.
What have you been doing? What have you been doing? You've been down for 4 days. You stink. What did you do that to me for? Get it? You think there's a little bit of emotion going on?
I didn't hurt you, did I? We'll pray for you and lay hands on you when I'm done. Come back over here. I'm not done with you yet.
Think about this for a minute. He was dead. And he's alive. And he's wrapped in the identity of death. His face is covered. He can't see anything that's going on. All he knows is, Jesus just called me out of death and called me into life. Somebody let me go. And Jesus has given commandments. Loose him! They start unwrapping him, and I can imagine the emotion of his sister. He stinks, but they can't help but hug him. I can't believe you're alive. I can't believe you're alive. Let him go.
All right, I'll let you go now.
To let him go means to separate. It took him out of the identity of it, but he's still standing next to that stinking, nasty hole. He's still standing there. Let him go. Loose him and let him go. Let him go so that he can separate himself from this all the way. Let him go so we can move away from this hole, because I don't even want to look in the tomb. I don't care what's in there anymore. It doesn't matter anymore. Let him go. Loose him and let him go. Loose him so he can move and let's get out of here. Let's get away from the death. We don't have to look at it. We don't have to smell it. We don't have to hear it anymore. Let's go and rejoice. Let's get out of here. Let him go. Anybody got the picture yet? It's a little different than what you read the last time, huh? Let's go to John chapter 20. We'll just bring some more into this. We're still going down the runway. We're still getting out there. Jesus is crucified and dead, and we know they took his body and prepared his body with myrrh and aloes and all the things, and they 19 verse 40 in John says, then they took the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with spices, as the manner of the Jews is. They covered his face. They did all of the things that they did to Lazarus. The same thing. John 20 says, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. I love it. She didn't look. She ran. She saw the stone rolled away. So then she runneth, and she came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto him, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter. You gotta love John. He did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre, and he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying. Yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter to follow him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also the other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, or the grave, and seeth two angels in white setting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou?
She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Now there are questions in here that we're just not going to be able to answer. Why didn't she recognize that it was Jesus? I don't know. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. And she turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. We go on and read about Thomas not being there. And then Thomas has an encounter with the Lord, but there's a lot of the same things. And in, I realize in chapter and verse, it's just a couple pages, but really we are dealing with a matter of days from the time that Lazarus was raised until the crucifixion and the death and burial of Jesus and his resurrection. It's really not that long. And I think about the progression of all of it, and there's something, he's teaching us something here in Lazarus that we find in his resurrection. Remember Acts 2:24 says, Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death. It is that same word that Jesus spoke to all of those gathered around the tomb of Lazarus. It is that same word to loose him. God loosed him from the identity of death, and it could not hold him. He loosed Jesus from that. And it would be, we would think, well, it's logical to think, well, the angels were there in the tomb, and it was those two angels, they were the ones that loosed him. They're the ones that took the burial clothes off of him. Maybe, I don't know. Some teach that's proof that he just, in his resurrected body, suddenly was out of the clothes. I don't know. He walked through doors and walls later on after his resurrection, so I don't know. But this we do know, that God raised him up and loosed him from the pains of death. And those pains of death, that word goes back to sorrow. And sorrow and grief are, it's that mix. It's that not knowing what to think and not knowing what to feel. On one hand, to grieve the loss of a loved one is to find in the same part of a loss, okay, in that same loss, you find positive emotions and negative emotions. You lose a loved one, and perhaps they've suffered with illness or something, and you lose that loved one, and part of you is relieved because they're no longer suffering. But the other part of you is grieving because you'll never be able to talk to them again. You'll never be able to hold them again. Maybe they'll never be able to hold you again, and that feeling of just being embraced by a mom or a grandma. But grief is that conflict in the emotions. For the same loss, we have a positive emotion, we have a negative emotion. And we really don't know what to think. We really don't know what to do. And that's the whole grieving process, is coming to peace and knowing, okay, wait a minute, this is, Lord, walk me through this. And prayerfully, you do that with Jesus. Or you end up seeing people grieve for very, very, very long periods of time. And you don't see anything good from that come, because they're hanging out in that place of death. And they just continue to grieve. But prayerfully, with Jesus, we walk out that process. Yes, there's still a process of that grief, but we come to that place where we come to terms with it and really rest in Him God loosed him from the pains of death. In John 20, verse 23, after his resurrection, after being loosed from the pains of death, he comes to the disciples and he says, "Peace be unto you." He says it twice, "Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins, you let go, they are let go." It's the same word in the Greek. To forgive is the same thing as to let go. Loose him and let him go. Now, this gets interesting as I started thinking about this, because Jesse shared last week kind of his testimony and everything that he's been struggling with, and part of that struggle was the identity that he had in that death of the alcohol. For those of you that were here and heard his testimony and the struggle that he's had, Jesus says, "Loose him." And that has been the process, has been removing the burial cloth, sometimes one strip at a time. Sometimes you feel like you make headway and you get the face unveiled, whatever it may be. You feel like, well, today we accomplished a lot. But the process has been removing the burial cloth, removing the identity that he's continued to walk in. He's still there. Continue to remove those cloths and remove the identity of the death of being an alcoholic and everything, all the guilt and all the pains, all the sorrows of death that came along with it. All the guilt for the way that it made him act to his children and to people that had been in his life. All the guilt, all the junk, all the condemnation, all the things, all the shame, all the fear, all the guilt, all the stuff, all the blame. There's the pains of death, is it not? Loose him. Loose him. That's what Jesus tells us to do. Loose them. So we remove all of the burial clothes, but there's more. Let them go. Forgive him. Maybe somebody in this room was hurt by Jesse at one point. Maybe not. But you can imagine what it is to be on the receiving end of everything that he described. Maybe some of you were alcoholics. Maybe some of you grew up with an alcoholic parent. Some of you have had similar experiences and you can relate to everything that Jesse was talking about last week. Some would take offense for another. And some would listen to Jesse's testimony and say, "Well, what about his poor mother? Loose her." See, I can sit there, I can look at his identity now and know that he's not an alcoholic. I can loose him from all the stuff, but I can keep him there hanging out around that pit and that death also. See, I can hold on to him and Jesus says, "Loose him!" And I'm looking at him, "Look, don't you see this identity you're walking around in? Man, you stink! You stink, Jesse!" Jesus says, "Loose him!" I can let him go. I can even take the identity off. I can look at people and say, "Jesse's not an alcoholic anymore." But in my heart, I can have him so bound up, I can walk away from him saying, "Yeah, but I know what you were before." I can refuse to let go of maybe a time when he hurt me. See, maybe I don't look at him and I know that his identity's changed and, yeah, he's a Christian, but, man, still smells like death to me. Every time I get near him, I just start feeling all those same old feelings again. And I just start smelling that death. He still stinks. I wouldn't hang out with Jesse. Don't get too close to Jesse. You see where we're going with this? Or maybe you say, "I forgive him." Maybe you can get enough of the hurts put aside. You know, maybe Eddie's hurt my feelings. I can put enough of that aside. But I'm not about to let him forget who he is. And I can do that a number of ways.
I can say, remember, I'm the pastor, Eddie.
Puts him in his place, doesn't it? Reminds him who he is in his identity by exalting who I am in mine.
Ooh, now we're playing a nasty game.
Ooh. This would probably be the heart of the Nicolaitans that Jesus talked about in Revelation, that he hates the Nicolaitans. Because the Nicolaitans in the Greek, it's Niko, it's to conquer. It's where we get the name brand Nike. It means victory or conquer. It's where it comes from. It's a Greek word. Nicolaitans. Conquer over the common people. When I lord over the common people, now I've taken on the heart of the Nicolaitans.
But see, I can say that I forgive him and I don't even have to bring up any of the stuff. I just keep him in his place and remind him who his identity really is.
Ooh. I don't know about you, but this just hit me.
Loose him and let him go. How many people in here have been hurt by other people?
I mean, and we say, well, they need to know Jesus first. We're just going to keep beating them with that stick because they stink and they need to know Jesus. Loose them. Start tearing off those strips of death by speaking the Word of God into their life.
Amen.
Start speaking truth and life to them. Start speaking the Word of God. And I don't care if it's just one scripture. Every single time you see him, I don't care what it is. But when the Spirit of God comes upon you, and you know it, speak the Word of God into them. Because it's no different than Jesus calling Lazarus forth. The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder soul and spirit. And when I speak the Word of God into somebody, their spirit man and their soul is now separated, and their spirit man goes, and they have a choice right then. And you may think, well, it's just that fast. You're right, it is. It was one glimpse, one moment in time when I chose to believe into Jesus Christ for the saving of my soul. All it took was that one glimpse. Will you be the one that will loose them? Will you speak the Word of God into them and remove the identity of sinner from them? Because the truth is, their sin has been dealt with in Christ Jesus. He died for them. He's called them forth out of the grave. They can't hear him, they can't receive it, because they're still walking around in the identity of death. I'm just a sinner. Why would he call my name? How many people do you know that hear God speak to them and they keep denying it? Why would God talk to me? Why would God talk to me? That's not God. Maybe that's just me. Oh, that would be nice to know that God was talking to me, but oh. And they're wrapped up in the fear, guilt, shame, and blame. But if it is him talking to me, then that means that I have to be humble about my sin. So, man, I'm afraid to come out of there. I know somebody's calling me out of this grave right now, but I'm a little afraid to come out there and see who it was. I mean, the scenarios are endless to this. But how are they going to know when it's Jesus? How are we going to know? The goal is, if I'm to be conformed in His image, anybody that's truly been called out of life and taken off that identity and has been set free and walked away from my path, I don't want nothing to do with that stinking pit that I used to live in. Nothing. Nothing at all. But in order to walk away from it, I had to forgive myself. He removed the death from me, but I had to let go. I had to forgive myself in order to get away from that stinking rottenness. And when I forgave myself and was able to walk away from it, now I know I ain't going back there. And I'm not going to shove somebody into their pit of death either. I can see where somebody else is at as the Lord shows me. When I've walked away from all the stench and I've walked away from all of it, let me tell you something. Life smells a whole lot better than death. Doesn't it? I can choose to see the life in somebody now. I can choose to speak the Word of God and to remove those burial cloths from them. I can remove the identity of death. I can let them go. I can grab their hand and say, get away from that stinking rotten hole before you fall back into it again. That's not who you are. That's who you were. Get away from it. Quit looking back. And you know the ones that have done it, because they're loosing and they're letting go. Because they've been raised
to new life in Christ Jesus. And they know there's nothing that's back behind me that I want. Nothing that I desire in my past. Nothing do I need. If I need it, He's going to set it in front of me because He's called me to Him. Come on. Keep coming. Keep coming. I'm being called and drawn into a place. Amen. Don, you had your hand up.
Well, we talk about letting go, but it's such freedom for us when we let Him go.
Yeah.
It's like that last thing that keeps us from entering the Holy of Holies. When we let Him go, it goes on the altar and we go on in. I mean, we so many of us stand deprived of what God would give us because we won't let Him go.
In order, if you're standing there when they're called out of death and into life, and you're standing there, in order for them, if they're still standing there next to that pit and all the smells and all the death and all the stuff, so are you. He was telling them, let Him go. Let Him go so He can leave, and let Him go because you got no purpose there now. You got no purpose there. So for me to have judgment or unforgiveness towards somebody is for me to stand next to their death and just keep hanging out there because I don't want to let go of them because they might actually think they can get away from this now. They might actually think they can get away with this. Truth is, they do. They do get away with it. I got away with it because Jesus took it. It was a gift. He took it. I got away with all my past. Now, believe me, I don't want to go back there again because I will not trample underfoot the blood of Jesus Christ whereby I am sanctified. I don't have to go back there again. Loose Him and let Him go. And I pray this speaks to somebody in here this morning. Loose Him and let Him go. Remove the old identities. If you don't know how to help somebody in that, we need to talk. If you've been attending Harvest for a while and you don't know how to loose somebody, then somebody needs to kick me. Because I'm not expressing and I'm not teaching in a way where it's understandable if that's the case. Because this is what we've been teaching for a long time now. Is forgiveness. How to remove those identities. How to speak life into somebody instead of death. How to bless somebody instead of curse. How to keep reaching out to a brother that's got a struggle and not condemn him, not walking in forgiveness, not worrying about the things that he says or he does, but just keep on stripping off the burial clothes and saying, come on, you don't have to stay here. Come on. And every once in a while you kick him and say, come on! Because you love him. Because you love him. You love them that much. But you don't kick till God tells you to. Because usually when we kick in and of ourselves, we're kicking them back in that hole. What are you doing in there again? What are you doing in there again? That's usually what we do with family members if you think about that one too long. I think that's why these messages usually come out around the holidays. How many people are spending Easter with their family today? How many have had bad memories on Christmas Day or Easter Sunday and the family just goes, everybody's hanging out around the pit again. It's not the fire pit, it's the death pit. Woo! Aunt so-and-so is going to be there. She stinks. Let her go. Loose her. Let her go. We don't have any ants coming today, do we? I'm digging myself a pit. Yeah. I love you too, Jesse. Mm.
Mm-hmm. If what? Say that again. Yeah. If we'll look real close, usually if we're having a hard time letting go, it's because we have questions, and really so often we have judgment against God. We're mad at Him. And it's a sneaky little thing, but that's usually the problem, is we don't understand why. And I really believe when you look at Jesus on the cross and what He says when He's on the cross, it jumped out at me again this week. It was the sixth hour. The number six in Scripture represents, it's the number of man. That's why the number of the beast is 666, and it's the number of man. And it was the sixth hour when Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And He was fully God and He was fully man. He was fully our Savior. He says, the first thing He said was, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." There's the heart of a Savior. The second thing, at the sixth hour, I believe, was really the cry of man. That was that moment when, and everybody will say that's when the Father turned His back on Him. I don't think so. I really don't. I've been wrestling with this for a while, and I don't know that it's the Father turning His back. It was the time when He was fully man. It would be the time when all the sin and everything was on Him. But He was fully man, and His reaction was, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And I think it really describes the heart cry of Adam in the garden. What was he upset about, and why did he blame God? You know, it was that woman you gave me. Why was he there? It's because really, the question for God is, why did you let this happen? How did you let this happen? And oftentimes when we have a loss of a loved one, it can be years, and we hold on to that. Why did you let this happen? I've shared it here before. The loss of my baby brother when I was 13 hurt. Oh man, that was a turning point in my life. But the thing that I had to come to terms with was the same God that could heal him and do the miraculous in him was the same God. He said, "No, He's coming home with me." And who am I to judge that? And who am I to come against that? I did it for a lot of years, and it caused me, you know, that pit. I spent all those years digging my own grave. That's what I did. And I got the hole dug really good. I got it really dug. I'm down in the bottom of that thing. I'm thinking, man, it really started to stink down in this hole. And Jesus said, "Mike, come forth out of that pit." Thank you, Jesus. I was able to walk away from that. Yeah.
The most important thing in forgiveness is to get Jesus right in the middle of it.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter who it is. It doesn't matter what the situation is. What
I saved my left hook for last. Well, that's what he did to me this morning, so I figured I'd do the same thing. Lazarus, although it was beforehand, it was prior to Jesus, it is a type and shadow. Lazarus understood the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Okay? The very first, it's not the first, verse 3, chapter 11, verse 3, said, "Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick."
Everybody that knew Lazarus and everybody that knew Jesus and been around them knew that Lazarus was the one that Jesus loved. Okay? Do you know somebody that Jesus loves? Oh, come on. Really? Why is everybody so quiet then? Do you know somebody that Jesus loves? Do you know somebody other than yourself that Jesus loves? Whew. Now look at John 12, verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. Lazarus went from the identity of, I'm the one that Jesus loves. The community now knows him. It wasn't, it's Lazarus whom Jesus loves. It's Lazarus who was dead and is now alive. And Jesus did it. If we understand this at all and start loosing and letting people go, we'll be seen the same way. Do people look at you and say, that's Eddie, or that's Rick? Is that the person that Jesus loves? Yeah, you don't lose that. We know that he loves us. But do the people around you recognize you as one who was dead and is now alive? Do the people around you, do your children, does your spouse, do the people in the workplace? See, the interesting thing with me and Jesse, and I think why God has just kept us together through all of this, is Jesse and I used to drink together. I knew Jesse, Mike BC, Mike before Christ. I used to party with him. He used to come to my house. We used to indulge, and I am not bragging about that at all. But the interesting thing is we have a totally different relationship now. And I pray that Jesse doesn't just look at me and say, well, Jesus sure loves Mike. I pray that he looks at me and says, that's the man that I know. He was dead, and now he's alive. And I want what he's got. And when he finds that, it's because I'm removing the burial clause, and I begin to tell him who he is in Christ, and I begin to let him go from all the things of our past. And I begin to let him go. Amen? Loose him and let him go. Anybody else before we close this thing out in prayer? It got really quiet in here today. I hope everybody's thinking about this one. No? Happy Resurrection Day. He is risen. He is risen. Amen? Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that you have called us forth out of death and into life. I thank you, Lord, that you remove the stinking rags of death and the identity of death. And you have commanded us to put off those things, to mortify those members of our flesh, and to put you on, to put on the things of Christ. You've clothed us in your righteousness. And when we remove the veil, Lord, you've clothed us in your glory. If we will remove the identity of death, behold the glory of the Lord in the mirror. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I bless these, your people today. May this be a day of peace. May it be a day of rejoicing and celebration in you. May there be peace in their families today, Lord. May we loose and let go those who have hurt us in the past. May I glorify you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Yours is the name above every name. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.